It's fair to say that Jesus suffered on every imaginable level. I mean, there are different ways in which we can talk of suffering. You ask Elaine, she'll tell you, I've been moaning on for weeks about having a sore shoulder. I mean, I would be hard pressed to say I've been suffering with it, but it's a sore shoulder. And maybe lots of the others of you have had aches and pains as well. But we're talking about much more than aches and pains when we talk about suffering physically. And then there's another level that we might talk about suffering emotionally. Emotional suffering. Gosh, just in this church family, in the last week, we've had 7 bereavements. 7 families who are suffering emotionally at this time. Well, do you know there should be a government health warning that should say this? If you are willing to love, then you are leaving yourself wide open to emotional suffering. Because love is about opening up your heart to other people. And in the end, that will bring you suffering. And as I say, there are families here represented in church today whose hearts are broken. They have suffered emotionally. Well, certainly, Jesus must have suffered emotionally, not least as he hung there on the cross to see his mother stood before him. We thought about that a couple of weeks back. Can you imagine how that must have been for Jesus to see his mum with her heart torn? That's suffering emotionally. And for a fact, he suffered physically. I know you know the Easter story. I know that you know this business about the cross and so on, but never, ever allow yourself to become blasé about what happened on that day. He suffered physically. He was beaten and slapped and roughed up by the Roman guards, who were brutal men through and through, and were having some fun with him, you might say. He had a crown of thorns forced onto his head. Not just little pinpricks, but thorns like this, a couple of inches long, forced down into his scalp. He was whipped and scourged. Bible scholars reckon that he was subjected twice to this treatment. First of all, he was whipped because Pilate was thinking, maybe if I whip him, then the Jews will think that's enough of a punishment. And they'll settle for that. But it wasn't. And so after the whipping, he would have been subjected to scourging, which always preceded crucifixion. A long whip of leather, but set into the leather, pieces of bone, fragments of stone and metal at length along the whip. And then this lashed across his by now bare back. And these little pieces of stone and metal and bone and so on, at each time, gripping into his skin and flesh and being ripped out again. And there are eyewitnesses' accounts from these times that speak of bone being exposed. Such was the horror of scourging. And that they did to Jesus. He suffered physically. And then, of course, there was the business just of carrying the cross. You imagine how weak you are by now. having been beaten and whipped and scourged, and yet they made him carry his cross, and time and again, no doubt, he would have fallen under its weight. And then they nailed him to it. They actually nailed him to the cross, and then hoisted him up, sort of half supported. You see, on their own cross, they would have had a sort of little seat about here. Not enough to take the weight, but just enough that a victim could support himself somewhat. It wasn't an act of mercy. In fact, it made it worse, because it prolonged the suffering. The victim was able to support a little of his weight, and so the death took longer. Loss of blood, asphyxiation, dehydration. Human beings are capable of gross inhumanity, but never was it more obvious than in the Roman crucifixion. It was all designed to make it as horrific as possible and for it to be prolonged for as long as possible. Some people suffered for even days, hanging there for days. Now that is physical suffering, and Jesus endured it. But for Jesus, there was even more. There was yet another level of suffering for Jesus. And this was the suffering of separation. He suffered in being apart from his Father, apart from God for those hours. And no doubt, for Jesus, this was worse than all the other suffering put together. You see, Jesus was perfectly at one with his Father in a way that no one else ever has been or is. He was in perfect harmony. Because he was completely sinless and without fault. As soon as you introduce sin into the equation, you have separation, being apart from God. And this is what the Bible unfolds to us right at the very beginning in the book of Genesis. God created us human beings that we might be at one with him, in perfect fellowship with him. But we human beings turned our backs. Sin entered into the equation, which is just to say the rejection of God and the elevation of self. And at that point, the separation started. So wonderfully, symbolically put together in Genesis, human beings sent away, out from God's presence. And this is where we all are, out of God's presence, all of us. Not some of you, but all of us, apart from God, which is the very opposite of being at peace with God, at one with him. This is the fate of human beings. But God loves us so much. And this is the Easter truth. God loves us so much that he wasn't prepared to leave us there, to abandon us to our fate. So he sent Jesus. Sent Jesus into the world. But you see, it wasn't just as simple as that. That couldn't be the end of it. There was still the question of our sinfulness that we all share. Somehow it had to be dealt with, accounted for. And this is why Jesus came. This was the job he came to do. This was his work. As God's perfect Son, He alone could do this work. He was able to deal with our sin by taking it on Himself. The faith that should be ours, this being apart from God, separate from God, Jesus took that on Himself. Our separation, in other words, the price of our sin, He took on Himself. Such was His love for us. And that's what was happening as Jesus hung on the cross. And that was His suffering on the cross. He was bearing our sins. He was taking our having to be apart from God. He was finishing the job He came to do on the cross. And that, folks, is what is meant by His cry. It is finished. This wasn't resignation. This wasn't giving in. This wasn't a defeat. This is Jesus saying, the job that I came to do is done. Finished. This is what's meant by the phrase, everything had now been completed. Everything that Jesus came to do, job done. It's all done. Such that there is nothing you have to do but believe in Him who died for you. We are apart from God by our fate. That's the position we are in. Jesus came and took that being apart so that we could be at one and at peace with God. We just need to believe in Him and accept that love. It's what happens on the cross. We are put right with God. They crucified Him for you. Do you get that, folks? Jesus was nailed to the cross for you, so that you might be at peace with God. And really nothing else matters. That's what it's about. To be at peace with God.